That's right. That's right. But the but and as I said before, Shlomo HaMelech never questions the truth that God exists. Because it, he never says Les Din Les Dayan. That's not his philosophy. He just says, I look around, I don't see it. What is the point? The point of this. The answer is based on understanding of two psukim in the Torah. One pasuk says, "Vayiru ames ad Hashem, vayaminu bar Hashem uv Moshe avdo," and the next pasuk says, "Hine anochi boy lecha ba'av ha'onon, l'man yishmoam bedabri imach, v'gam b'chol yaminu la'olam." Those two psukim. Why? Because the first pasuk is by Oz Yashir. So it says that the people vayaminu b'Hashem, amuna means verification, was verified. And then it says, l'man yishmoam bedabri imach, v'gam b'chol yaminu la'olam. What do you need the second one for? You had it already by Kriya Sansa. What do you have Matan Torah for? Sinai? So what's the answer? The Rambam gives the answer. Because there's a difference between an amunah sheyesh achareho hiror and amunah she'ein achareho hiror. It means I could prove something to you, and you could say definitely it's right, but in the back of your mind, something you're still troubled. Okay, the doctor gives you a prescription, so you believe he's right, but are you 100% certain? I mean, in the back of your mind, you don't feel it, so they got the wrong prescription there. You see, it means something's still bothering you. That's why Aminu Bar Hashem of Moshe Avdo by Kriyas Yamsuf was that kind of an amunah. They know it's true, but still something bothering. But by Sinai, it was 100%. The mind was satisfied. There was nothing to think about anymore. This is it. Okay? Now, the same thing is true with regard to understanding what the Torah says of the Derech HaChayim, that there's a din and there's a dayin and a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Shofet Kol Aretz. But when I see it, and I don't see the corroboration, and I have questions, I may know the fact, but in terms of my existence, I'm affected. You see, Yahadus is not just simply saying, I believe in this, I believe in that. It's a Goyim have that. They call it catechism. They believe that they believe in certain things, and that's it, they're finished. And Yahadus is a way of life with Derech HaChayim. I have to be able to function, to put my energies into searching, into growing, into gaining in Torah. I mean, you can't just do that if things are disturbing. So I could know that it's right, but if I look around and I look and I take a look and I don't see the corroboration and I see things are not going the way the Torah says it's supposed to be going, okay? So I say, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the answer. Very nice, but that's emunah sheyesh achareha hiru. It means I know it's true, but it's disturbing. And if it's disturbing, it affects my function. That's why you had to have Torah Misinai, to remove any doubt with regard to God's existence in the Torah, and the veracity of the Torah. Without Sinai, you don't have that. Okay? The same thing is true in a person's life. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech basically is saying. Shlomo HaMelech is telling you that when you look around, you don't see it. Okay? So you don't see it? It's not that he's it. The average idea that you have today with these apocryphal, with these Bible critics, they're very shallow people. I mean, they only understand one or two ways. It's true. It's not true. According to the situation is a little deeper than that. It's a little more complex. It's not a matter of being true or not true. Of course, a person would be audacious for any person to think that he understands God's chesed. And if he doesn't understand something, so what? So it means that it's not true. If he thinks something is unjust, it means it really, really is unjust. It could very well be just. I mean, he can't begin to understand God's mishpat. No human being would be crazy enough to think that he's going to even question God when it comes to mishpat. But the fact is, as long as he doesn't see the collaboration, his function is impeded. As a person of Torah, his function is impeded. How does it continue? It's not enough to just say it's true. You have to have a certain support from reality. The support from reality is failing. You can't function properly. And that's why most people really can't function properly. Even though they think they wouldn't question, you know, the religious people wouldn't question. But the fact is, it does impede their function and it does affect them. And they do have afterthoughts. Okay? But that's the case with the Hamonam. That's not the case in... That's because they really question whether it's true or not, because they really are convinced that they can assess God's judgments. That's not Shlomo HaMelech. That's only a person who's not a chacham. Okay. But Shlomo Melech is saying his argument is that still in all there's no corroboration, and it has to affect me to a certain extent. So how can I function if I'm affected in that way? You see, that's Shlomo. That's the problem of Kehelis. Okay, so the question is, that's the case. So what's the solution to that? What's the solution? Where does he give the solution to this problem? Problem is an interesting problem. As I said, it's not a simplistic problem. Like today's philosophers. It's not a question of true or false. Yeah, it's true. Of course, a person would be crazy to think he understands God's Keshbonus, and God's Mishpat on different levels. Different levels of Mishpat. There's a level for society, there's a level for Yochid. It's too complex for a person to even enter into the arena of such a thing. But, nevertheless, you see, if I don't see corroboration, it's a munashiesha chareo hero. I know it's true, but it's disturbing. My mind isn't satisfied. I'm searching, and if your mind isn't satisfied, it has to affect your life. So that's Shlomo Melech's question. His question is, Yehadah demands more than just saying something is true, or even thinking something is true. It demands knowledge and understanding where the whole personality is involved, is in line with the idea. The whole personality. And if you look around and you don't see it, So then you have a problem. It disturbs you. How can you move ahead fully with all your energies when you have this problem? It's a munah shiyesh acharel hiro. Shiyesh acharel hiro doesn't mean to say that a person doubts it. It means it's disturbing, and it's draining off energy that could be used for perfecting himself. Okay, because that's the way human being functions. Shlomo Melech knew that. That's really his question. That's the question. Where's his answer? The answer is, you see what he says like this. If you take a look, he says like this. He says, yeah, by the way, the question is brought up in your base. Ashechota osa ro ma'asu marichlo. Okay? I know that it's going to be good. He says, I know that the tzaddik is going to get the good. It's in the Torah. God said so, and he's not questioning that. Okay? The tov lo yiyah lo rasha, v'lo yarech yomim katzel, asher yinini yorel l'fnei l'kim. He knows that. Okay? But see, there also he's speaking in general. In general, the Russia, he says, he knows the Russia is what he calls his life is miserable. But, you see, but he says the individual cases present the problem. That's Yeshiva. Okay. Yeah. Then he says, yeah. He says also in Yudzayin, correct. He knows that you can't really find it. You can't really expect to understand God's judgment. Too complex for a human mind isn't capable of understanding it. A person will try to find the answer. The lo yimtzo is not going to find it, he says. The gamim yomar achochem ladas. Even the greatest chochem says that he is going to understand it. Lo yucha limtzo. You'll never be able to understand it because God's judgment is too complex, and the human mind is not a vehicle for understanding such a thing. It's too complex, too difficult. Okay, it's like a child trying to understand a great thinker. He can't. Doesn't have the kelim for it. Okay, that's what he says over here. But again, so what's the problem? But it's still a problem because the problem is, so you can't be satisfied. So what kind of a life? How do I function? How do I exist? How do I put all my energies into something when there are disturbing problems? So he says like this. The answer is, when he says, for instance, He says, in one case, he says, the simcha is one of the contradictions that Chazal say. That the simcha, he says, the shibachti anias a simcha, and then he says, ula simcha mazo osa. Okay? It's a contradiction. Once, he says, the shibachti anias a simcha. In the other case, says, ula simcha mazo osa. Alright? Simcha does nothing. What does it mean? The answer is, again, like I said before, the answer is the different frameworks. In the normal life, simcha is frustration. Like that philosopher was right. Simcha Mazel also, it means a present, big party, elaborate party, then afterwards what? What does it do? Nothing. Because a person is looking for something, by nature, is looking for something to accomplish something. He just had a great time, and afterwards he feels depressed, he feels empty. Okay, that's a Simcha Mazel also. But for Shibachti Anias a Simcha, so Chazal say, Lo Kasha. He says like this. The Shibachti a Simcha, Simcha Shal Mitzvah. It means to say like this. Well, he gives his advice later. Lech echo b'simcha lachmecha, which save a leiv tov yinecha ki kvarotza l'kimas masecha. And then he says, Re'i chayim amisha shahavta kol mechayev lecha. And he says, all these things, the advice he gives later. And where he talks about, where he talks about mikah chocham amia dea pesha dava, chochmas adam torah pana. Where he speaks about Yisron lachochma min asichlus ki Yisron or min achoshech, all those psukim are really the answer. What is the answer? The gamma, for instance, tova. Give me something. I'll show you where he expresses it. I think, you could see it. It's keelas test yud gimel. He says gamzo reisi chochma tachas hashamash gedola yeloi. That's a very funny, when you look at his Pesukim, you really see they just demand interpretation. He says, I've seen a Chachma and it's very great to me. What's the great Chachma? Ir Kitana, a small little city, Vanashim Bama'at. Few people there. Uvo Eleo Melech Godel Vesova Voso, Vono Eleo Metzodim Gedolim. This king came and he surrounded the city, he's going to take over the city. Umotzovo Ish Miskin Vachachim, there's one intelligent fellow in the city, he says, Umilatu Esa Ir Bachachmasa, save the whole city with his Chachma. Okay. So you think, wonderful, this guy should be a hero, right? No, for Adam lo zochar seisha miskenaho. Nobody mentions him. What does it mean? What it means like this. It means, in human life, even if a person, most people are attached to Chachma because they think that Chachma at least is recognized by people. But the truth of the matter is, Chachma is not recognized by people. Why? Because Chachma is very easily denied. It's easy to deny Chachma. You can have people working on something, you can have one intelligent person, and he gives the solution, but then prove that it's because of his solution that things went well. No, there were 15 other things I've done. It was because I did this. You'll notice that in the area of human affairs, it is almost impossible to win an argument, and it's almost impossible to establish truth. Only very rare people could do it, because everybody's emotions are involved. If, for instance, if you have a problem, and then you say, well, what we're going to do is, this is the solution to your problem. Do this, do that. Psychologists will give a solution. But then when the results take place, the person says, well, let's say psychologist says to the mother, well, you see, you listened to me, and that's why you had good results. But before, you were having terrible results. The mother, no, that's not why. Well, because in this case, something else was different. You see, it's very hard, very difficult to attribute, to prove that what you have, the change you've made is what caused the results. And that's what he says over here. He says you have a city that was surrounded by a king, a small city. Okay? Not too many people. Simple, not complex. And one person thought of he saved the whole city. He says nobody even mentions this guy. Why? Because they don't attribute the saving of the city to his advice, because there were 15 other factors there, and everybody's saying, no, it's because I did this, and because I did that, and yet this Chacham was his maneuver saved the whole city, and nobody even recognizes him. You see? So what is he saying here? He's speaking about the frustration of the fact that human society doesn't recognize Chachma. I read an interesting thing. It says, Sir Isaac Newton was the greatest mathematician, in the world, basically. You could say ever. And you'd be either 100% correct or pretty close to it, okay? Now, Sir Isaac Newton was giving lectures in the university, and no one even said a word. He was giving lectures in mathematics. After all, mathematics is not psychology. That's pretty concrete. He was giving lectures in mathematics, ideas that were phenomenal, that people never saw before. Other professors knew he was giving these lectures. People were attending these lectures. As a matter of fact, they weren't heavily attended, but there were people there. The fact was that for years, people just made believe he wasn't even doing anything. He just didn't exist. Nothing. If it weren't for a close friend of his that forced him to write, we wouldn't even know of his works. So Chachma is very easily denied. Easily denied. That's what he's saying over here. This is, I'm talking about, not only in the, he's speaking about in the practical sphere, but even in the scientific sphere. Okay? All right, I mean, I don't have to go on with cases and cases of people who are great chacham and whatever, and simply didn't have any recognition. That's what it means. Okay, so there's no, that's another frustration, because you think at least chachma, at least that should be an objective social phenomenon, but it's not. But what does he say? V'amarti ani tova chachma megvura. Okay, v'chachma san miskein bezuya u'devorav eina nishmoyim. Okay, what does he mean? And then he goes on, he says, Divrei Chacham Menachas Hashmoyim, Tov HaChochma Meklei Krov, okay? What does he mean? What do you mean he says like this? He means, if you're into Chochma because you want any kind of compensation, or it doesn't exist. In society, you're not going to find it. But he says like this, but I know Tov HaChochma Mekvura, that Chochma is greater than Gvura, something which is publicly acclaimed. He says, but Chochma is more valuable. Why? Because of the Chochma itself. Because of the Chochma itself. He says, that's basically, he says, and that's his answer all the way through. It's just, you have to expand it, and that's basically what his solution is. His solution is like this, that the Simcha Re'ei Chaim, where he says, where he mentions about the, where he mentions that a person, Lechechol B'Simcha Lachmecha, what does he mean? He means forget about the fantasies. A person, the real answer is a person cannot live. The normal life is frustrating. There's no way out of it. That's forget about. So the only thing can live is a life of a chacham. Okay, that means everything that society has taught you, you have to abandon. And what society recognizes, doesn't recognize, can't play any role. You simply must follow only chachma. Why? Because the sake of chachma, you love chachma. And you love justice. He mentions also that justice is a reality to a human being. And the life of the Chacham is the only life that's worth living. That is the reason, and that is the attachment, because in theory, it's inescapable. In practice, the practicality, you're not going to find. It's like a person say, should I live a healthy lifestyle or an unhealthy lifestyle? Say, oh, live a healthy lifestyle. Say, what about this guy? He's 90 years old. He lived like crazy. And this other guy took care of his health, died at 50. They say, you're right. It's a problem. It doesn't work out, and the social scene doesn't work out. But I ask you, what is the more intelligent decision? What does Chachma demand? Chachma demands, in that case, a practical thing. Chachma demands you live a healthy lifestyle. Okay? The life, it's a muscle for what he's saying. The life of the Chacham is determined because he sees what the Torah says is true. He says, Smach b'chor b'yal z'chor b'orachor b'mei b'chor asecha. He says, remember God when you're young, when you have the energies, when a person still has a strong, passionate nature, he should devote those energies to Chachma, and to Torah, and to God. See, you see? There he says, why? Because that is the right life to, the right life to follow. Because Chachma dictates that's the way a person should live. You have all the things that don't corroborate. You don't find external corroboration. You have different problems. It's true. But what moves the chacham, what moves with the attachment that the person, what causes the person, the tzaddik, to function, is in spite of the questions, that he, in spite of the fact that he doesn't have the corroboration, the attachment to chacham, there's no choice. On the theoretical plane, the life of Torah is perfect. It's perfect. It tells you exactly, if you understand psychology, you'll see why the life of Torah is the happy life. If you understand philosophy, you'll see why the good that the Torah says is truly the good. Once you know that, you're drawn to it, and there is no choice but to live that way, in spite of the fact that you're right, according to the way things should work out, why isn't Chachma Gover out there, and why isn't righteousness Gover out there, and why isn't the Hashgach of Mishpat Gover out there? We cannot explain it, but that's the practical. That's like the person, he says, like the person who will say, well, why should I follow out of the lifestyle? Look at this guy. He lived to be 90 and didn't. That we can't answer. The order doesn't exist out there. But what demands and what causes a person to be attached to the life of Chachma is the theoretical perfection and the understanding and the knowledge that when a person sees the Chachma Satari, he sees everything is right. He sees the beauty of Chochmah, he can't escape. You see? That is his answer, basically. That's Sof Dovra Kol Nishma. That's what it means. Sof Dovra Kol Nishma means Gamim Chocham Yomar Yomar Sheyivakesh Lo Yuchal Amtza. It's impossible. It's true. It's disturbing. But the fact is Sof Dovra Kol Nishma, I heard the problem. And it's emuna sheyesh acharei hira. Again, I don't mean that there's a hira in the conclusion. Yesh acharei hira means he knows it's true, but there are problems, there are disturbing elements. But the fact is, es olakim yirah, that's mitzvos of shmar tizeh kol adam. It means the commitment to God, to Torah, is based upon something else. It's based upon an intrinsic proof. There's an intrinsic proof and there's an external proof. The external proof, I can't give you. I can't give it to you. There's no way. Aristotle was a great chacham. He came to the conclusion, he can't prove it. Okay, he thought about same problems. Can't prove it. Statistically, there's no way to prove it. But the reason why you have to live that life is because of the intrinsic proof. That's what he said. You must live that way. Because intrinsically, this is the derech ha'emes, and when you analyze it, you'll see it has to be correct. You see, that's Sof Dovra Kol Nishma Es Elokim Yirah Ves Mitzvos Hashmar Ki Zeh Kol Adam. What do Chazal say? Ki Zeh Kol Adam. Fantastic Chazal. Chazal say, my Ki Zeh Kol Adam. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Oh, so Rambam says, Amar Zeh Kol Adam Kulo Nivrei Shvil Zeh. Okay, Rabbi Abba Bakana Oma Shkol Zeh Kineged Kol Adam Kulo. Take this against Kol Adam Kulo. What does it mean? It means Kol Adam Kulo means the observable, factual, okay, external. It says, Shkol Zeh Kineged Kol Olam. Take this, the intrinsic. You have to be guided by the intrinsic. That's really a solution. That's a solution to the dilemma. But you have to understand the dilemma. You have to understand the problem. It's not the problem that people think out there. That's on a very superficial level. And you have to understand what his solution is. That's Sof Dovra Kol Nishma. That's why Chazal say that Bikshu Lignos Sefer Koheles, if he wouldn't have a conclusion, you see, then it wouldn't be proper to go through all these questions. But basically what he says is that the intrinsic is the proof, so therefore it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So that's why they weren't going to Sefer Koheles, you see, because of the conclusion is that and this is a conclusion which the Hamon Am obviously should know also, that it doesn't mean there's no value in analysis. There's a great value in analysis, but, and I'll tell you the truth of the matter, is that what kept all Chachmei Yisrael, some were greater philosophers, some were greater in Torah, I mean, you had different Rabbeinu Tam, the Rush says Rabbeinu Tam, the elder Rabbeinu Tam was bigger than the Rambam in Halacha. Rabbeinu Tam wasn't bigger than the Rambam in philosophy, in Hashkafa, definitely not. But the different Gedolim, person has different abilities, and everybody's different. But what held Chachmei Yisrael really was not so much the solutions to the problems. The Rambam, if the Rambam didn't have a solution, had a lot of things he didn't have solutions in the Morning Bochum. A lot of things. And if he would have one less, would it make a difference in the Rambam? It wouldn't make any difference. Why? Because the commitment is based upon the view, the intrinsic view of the system of Chachmei. That's what all Gedolei Yisrael were drawn to, and that's why that's why they couldn't deviate from the Derech Chaim of Torah, and that's why they gained and their energies were involved in Torah because of the intrinsic, the internal commitment, not the internal view, not the external corroboration. You see, that's nice to philosophize. We hold from philosophizing. We hold from trying to understand. Yes, it's true. But that's a different thing. You have to understand where that fits in the scheme of Yahadus. You see, it's a different kind of a thing. In the world's idea of philosophizing doesn't fit into the same pattern as the pattern of Yahadus. It's different. Okay, it's different. Okay. Where it says, V'lorot itzadet nezo v'zarem v'vakesh lachem, you're right. I explained to you. The question on the whole, it's not true. On the whole, tzadikim have better 90% of the time, you're right. It's true, it has to be true. But, now you get corroboration rule, but that's not the philosopher. That's a philosopher, that's a different rule. As long as you show an exception, you have a problem. The Achas problem was external, because he saw the famous Gemara. He saw a young boy goes up to his, listens to his father, and he falls down, and he goes, Shluchakani, whatever he dies. Where's the money, Rechonimach? Of course, it's a mushel. I don't know if it even happened to him. But it means he got a mushel. That was his problem. That was his problem. But Chazal say, that's what Chazal say about Acher, Tina Hoysa Balibo. What does it mean, Tina Hoysa Balibo? It means there was something disruptive that didn't allow him to channel all his energies in spite of the external problem, but because of the internal veracity. See, the internal verification. There was something that he had an emotional problem. He had an emotional problem. It was an emotional problem. Okay.
So basically, Koheles is Shlomo HaMelech's major philosophical work. There are three works that we have in Shlomo HaMelech. One is Mishlei. Second one is Koheles. And Shira Shira. I'm not giving the order, but the three works. Mishlei, Koheles, and Shira Shira. Mishlei is ethics, where he deals with the logical, practical way of life. In other words, human action and the proper logical approach to living. But it is not a philosophical work, because a philosophical work is a work that's all-encompassing. Ethical work is simply how to act in given situations and how to perfect one's emotions and work according to Chachma, Levas, Chachma, Musa. That's really what Mishlei is. Chachma, Musa. Okay, but Chachma Musar doesn't take a look at the whole scheme. It's not a work that deals with the scheme of life. It's a work that deals with specifics and how to act in specific situations. That's ethics. That's Mishlei. Then you have the major philosophical work of Shlomo, which is really Koheles. That's where he looks at the scheme of life. And then the third work that you have from the Shir HaShirim, which is purely a theological work. That's a theological work. That's a work that deals with the God's relationship to Klal Yisrael. Separate, very separate kind of a thing. So you have three different areas that he deals with, and each area, of course, he's very strict in how he deals. In other words, when he deals with philosophy, he deals strictly with philosophy, and that's why Chazal mentioned that he says things that look like He's denying some of the truths of Torah. It appears that way. Because he has to be honest in his investigation. He has to bring in all different ideas, but different ideas, different points of view, but there is a framework to what he's doing. Okay, he's not just raising questions. And you see that, as we mentioned last week, that there's never a denial of God's existence or God's judgment, that God judges man. He never, if you look at interspersed constantly, is recognition of God. Okay? For instance, from the point where he says, for instance, in Koheles Gimel, okay? Constantly mentions God. In the Sefer, he always posits God and God's existence and God's hashgacha. There's never a denial of that. Okay? Constantly. Again and again, he says, "Gam kolam sheyachol shasav roach tov b'matas alekim hi yadati ki kol sheyas alekim hu yela olam olavein lohosef menuim legroa." All right, I know there is, I believe, an apikurish position that maintains that self-double is thrown in refute, or so to speak, all this philosophical speculation and say that it's all nothing. But it's not true, because throughout the Sefer you have God. Throughout the Sefer. V'olakim yivakesh is nirdof. Alright? Constantly. It's throughout the Sefer. Alright? Al tevala picho. V'olakim yivakesh is nirdof. V'olakim yivakesh is nirdof. Okay? Again and again, he says, Al titin espicha lachtias pesarecho v'al tumofnei amalach kishgagri lo ma yitzof o lekim al kolecho v'chibel as masa yodecho. Again and again, interspersed straight throughout the Sefer, is interspersed the questions of God's existence, of God's Kim Osher Nachasan Shlita Lecho Matas Olakim. All right. Last week, what is the most basic approach of the Sefer? He's asking questions. There's no doubt about it. He's asking questions. But the question, as I said, is not he's not questioning the God's existence or God's hashgacha chalui. That's not his question. He knows that that's so, but it's based on what we said last week, that in Yahadus, that's not enough to simply know something. But since Yahadus is based on a very vigorous kind of life where a person as it places all his emotion and all his energies and all his knowledge into a certain pursuit of a lifestyle, certain things can impede that lifestyle, and that is where you don't see in reality. When you look at reality, you do not see any corroboration for what you maintain is so through Nevuah. Nevuah is not enough. Nevuah can tell you the facts, but if you don't see it with Chachma, so then you're a compromised individual functionally. That's really the premise of the entire Sefer. And the Sefer is geared to show you that this corroboration, or let me put it this way, the corroboration that man looks for, and that's the key, the corroboration that man looks for is not to be found in reality. Okay, in other words, whatever a person does by nature, he looks for certain echoes from reality in order to support his position. When he doesn't find those, when those aren't forthcoming, it affects him functionally. Now it's interesting, one of the most powerful statements that he mentions it three times, is the fact that mikra echad lakol, the fact that there is one fate for everyone. That is one of the most powerful facts from reality that contravenes what man is looking for. And he says it in three places. It's interesting. Okay. Yashem Moshe says, Kareish, Kishakarech Baruch Hu, said, Din Imorashoyim, Shema Neskarech. That's Shema Neskarech. What does it mean? What's Kiddush Hashem? Kiddush Hashem is corroborating reality for the Divrei Nevuah.
That's right.
That was Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah, the most powerful tefillah. Loma Yomu Mitzrayim Lema, Baro Tziyam. That was his tefillah. Okay. So his tefillah was, he was mispalel that God should show people corroboration from reality for the ideas that the Nevuah conveys. Okay? And Shlomo HaMelech really takes off on that theme. So therefore, the questions that he asked, as I said last week, the type of questions that Shlomo HaMelech asks, no philosopher can ask, because he's in a given framework. Okay, a philosopher is in a framework of truth and falsehood. That's his domain. But the domain of Shlomo HaMelech is a different one because he comes from a system where he has facts from Nevuah. So it's not a question of truth or falsehood. It's a question of how is a person supposed to function when reality doesn't corroborate the ideas that we have from Nevuah. That's the problem. It's a singular problem. Only Shlomo HaMelech could have such a philosophical problem, a different kind of problem than philosophers deal with. Okay? It's important. That's really the basis. If that idea is not clear, the basis of the whole Sefer is lacking. And that answers the Sof Dovar Kol Nishma. The Sof Dovar Kol Nishma is a contradiction. What do you need all the philosophy for? If it means simply Sof Dovar Kol Nishma, so what do you need all the philosophy for? Right? Now the answer, we'll explain a little further the answer. We started explaining last week, we'll come back to it again. But you'll see that the self davar kol nishma fits in perfectly with his scheme. His scheme. He has a very specific kind of philosophical question that only he could ask and only he can answer. No philosopher ever dealt with such a kind of a problem because the philosophers don't have nevuah. Okay, they don't have access to nevuah, and we do. So the question is thrown into a totally different light. Yes. All right. So. That is the key, the underlying key to the entire sefer. All right. Now let's take a look. As I mentioned before, the question of corroboration from reality, the most powerful question that he has. That's the pasuk that I mentioned last week. B'tzelachof mitzel kosef. Excuse me. See, over there he mentions the again. There's not a contradiction here, but he says ki betzel ha-chochma betzel ha-kosef. He was in the shadow of chochma, and is also in the shadow of money. Rashi explains kol mi sheyeshno betzel ha-chochma yeshno betzel ha-kosef she-ha-chochma goremes la-osher she-yavah. Yes, the philosophy of Shlomo, and that's the philosophy of Yadus, basically, is that everything that a person's success is always tied to Chachma. Okay? Everybody always quotes the other pasuk. The other pasuk is, he says, where he says, excuse me a second. Tess Yudal, he says, Shafti Varo, Sachas Hashemish, Ki Lola Kalam HaMerotz, V'Lola Gibam HaMolchom, V'Lola Chacham HaMolchom. Now there he says, just the opposite. It says betzela chochma betzela kosef. All right. So what is he saying? Yeah, usually in the yeshivas we quote the second pasuk. Yeah, the truth of the matter is that that's a mistake, because really what Shlomo HaMelech maintains, and what this is a philosophy of Yadus, is that if a person acts intelligently in his financial affairs, he will succeed and will become wealthy. That's betzela chochma betzela kosef. That's our philosophy. If a person acts like a fool, the person doesn't know anything and just sits home and says Tillim, he's not going to become wealthy. I mean, it's nice to say Tillim, but the David HaMelech was the author of Tillim, but David HaMelech went out to Melchama. I mean, unfortunately, what happens is you have a corruption in the whole view of Yahadus by certain religious factions that really have adopted a religious attitude that stems from the Goyim, really, not from us. Our philosophy is on the contrary. The Gemara always equates a loss of money with foolishness. Always. It says rush, T-rush. It means if a person drinks too much, it becomes a rush. Becomes poor. Loses money. So we hold just the opposite. What does it mean when he says lo lachacham lechem? What he means over there is that in spite of that, again he's trying to show, and this is his theme. His theme is there are no echoes from reality to support a system that we are looking for. What is a person looking for? A person is looking for something, some security, something that works in human affairs, that's reliable, that we can rely on. So he says, "Betzela chokma, betzela kosef." That's true. That if a person is successful in business, it's because he uses intelligence. Okay, he uses intelligence. That's correct. But still, he says, "Lo." But still, he says, "I still saw that it doesn't always work. It's not always the case." Lola gibar malamolchama. That's the same pasuk. Lola kalam ameros. Lola gibar malamolchama. The lola chachamim lechem. The gam lanavonim osher. Okay. So why he says ki eis vafega yikres kulon. So he says again, if you're looking for that support from reality, you're looking for something. What can I really put my faith in? I'll say I put my faith in chachma. Okay. So chachma is the thing that's going to guarantee me my success. B'tzela chochma, b'tzela kosef. He says, nope, but I saw it doesn't always work. Sometimes you can have a great chacham, greatest plan, and all of a sudden it's ace for fega, and he loses. Okay? So there again, he's showing the frustration. That's the hevel and rus ruach. From when I look at reality, I don't find the support. You don't find the support from reality. Okay? But I really quoted the pasuk for another reason, because the end of the pasuk, ha chochma techaya ba'aleha. Not just there, he introduces He introduces another idea that betzela chachma betzela kosef. A person can be financially successful with chachma. That's true, but what does he have from the money? From the money, he doesn't really have much. What he real chachma techaya balah, the real the life source is from the chachma itself. It supersedes the effect. If he would have stopped and he would have said betzela chachma betzela kosef, a person might think that's the benefit of chachma. He said no, kosef is important. Is important. Yehadis always holds kesef is important. Money is important. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. Yivarecha b'mamon v'yishmerecha b'namazikin. Okay. Yivarecha Hashem chelo by ketores means mamon. That's why they switched around the kahana by the ketores. So that's correct. But that is not really the essential effect benefit of chachma. Yechachma techayeb alehel. A kesef is not mechayeb alehel. The chachma is mechayeb alehel. So there again, he shows you the value of chachma on a personal level, intrinsic value. It gives a person life. A person is alive, he's involved in chachma. He's not involved in chachma, he's dead. Okay. So again, he shows you over here, getting back to the beginning where I was trying to before, that the where he speaks about nikra echad lakol, the first instance, and this is the most powerful, I believe, the most powerful. The most powerful question. I'm saying question in the light of the way we explain these questions. The most powerful question that he has is that Nikra Echad Lakol, which means to say basically that not simply that death wipes everything out. It's not the fact that a person dies that's really so devastating. What's devastating is the way he dies. You see? The way he dies. That's why he says, "Hachacham ainav barosho." He says, and he speaks about how great chachma is. Yisrael lachachma asichlos. But then he says, "V'yadanti kamoni ki shenikra echad yikras kulam." They're all going to suffer the same fate. The nikra echad is the problem. A person dies one thing, but the same fate as a fool. V'amati ani believe ki nikra aksil gamani yikreni. I'm going to suffer the exact same fate. V'lamo chachamti ani as Yosef. Okay, that's the hevel. Okay, so excuse me.
That's trying to get this idea across. But the question,
Kehelis's question, and he has an answer too. By the way, I'll get to the answer. But the questions of Kehelis again are not questions. It sounds contradictory because he says it's the greatest thing, and then he says mikrechlagi kreskom. So what? So who cares? But meantime, it's the greatest thing. He doesn't deny that, right? What he's trying to say is, what he's trying to say is, you see, kahelas is based on an underlying psychology of man, and the underlying psychology of man is again two things. First of all, that a person can't function unless he has corroboration from reality. Can't function. It impedes his function. It's unmentioned. Okay, that's the nature of his question. And the whole Sefer revolves around the fact that man, a psychology, a principle of psychology, what exactly man is looking for, based upon his nature. What man is looking for is something that reigns supreme, okay? Something that he could place his security in this existence, in this earthly existence. Kehelis is not... Kehelis is not a person that is removed from life. He's not a religious fanatic that locks himself up in a room. I mean, Kehelis is talking about human life, which is a struggle. I mean, the way the Torah views human life, it's a struggle. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, their lives are a struggle in reality. We're placed there in this struggle, and you can't avoid it. You have to face it. If a person avoids it, he's simply afraid of life. That's a person that's a recluse, a religious recluse that runs away into his room and hides from reality. That's not the Hashkafas HaYadas. It's not the Hashkafas HaYadas. I don't think anyone can read through Torah Nevi'im and Ksuvim and think that that's the case, even though people do that. But the fact is, I mean, our heroes are, all of the heroes, we don't have a real hero, true hero in the true sense of the word. But I mean, the people that we learn from, the models of perfection that we have are all engaged very very strongly in the Mochamas HaChayim, every one of them. I mean, from Avraham Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, David Shlomo, I mean, all the models of perfection, our models are all engaged in life, not recluses. So the So therefore, it's an acceptance of reality, the reality of our own struggle and the own of our existence. Okay, I mean that's the Melchana Sachaim, Derechaim. It's not a religious philosophy. A person tries to run away from life. That's not the philosophy of others. Okay, so therefore, what he's saying over here is, it's true that Chochmah is wonderful, but the fact remains that a person would want that if that's the way human life is set up, then there should be some distinction in reality which corroborates this view. Okay, it shouldn't be that a fool dies and dies and an animal dies and a chacham dies in the same manner. Shouldn't be that way. Mikre echad lakol is the biggest question. That's the biggest. The reason why a lot of people don't see the question is because people put things out of their minds. I mean, death is a subject they don't want to think about, so people don't have the question. But if a person is honest, they'll say, look, if this is the system, and Chachma reigns supreme, how is it possible that a Rambam should die like a drunkard? Same manner. I mean, just Mikra Chavakol. It just doesn't make any sense. It's not a proper order for reality. It's not a proper order for human affairs. Okay? This is a very disturbing fact. And you can't just talk it away. Okay? That's what he's saying, basically. I mentioned I say that is his most powerful question, because he brings it back a few times. Actually, he brings it back three times. One over here. Then he brings it back again. Then he brings it back again in the case of justice. Vod Reisi and Gimel. Vod Reisi Tachas Hashem Hashem Mekom HaMishpat Shama HaResha U'Mekom HaTzedek Shama HaRasha Amartin Yibolibi Yes HaTzadik Ves HaRasha Yishpo Ato Lekim Ki Eis Lechol Chefes HaKol HaMas Hashem. So then he gives the answer that, okay, I don't see the justice, but God's going to take care of the justice. Okay, it's a nice idea. But then he says that the people live like animals, as we mentioned last week, which itself, of course, contains a problem. If they live like animals, how could God judge them? That's number one. But then he continues with a powerful question. Let's give him your test. So he says, so Chochmah is one area you don't see anything reigning supreme, and then when it comes to Mishpat again, you don't see it. Should reign supreme in human affairs. That would be a sensible kind of existence. But it doesn't. It's mikra echad lakol. That's the second time he brings up the question of the fact that man dies. Again, not that he dies, but he dies just like the Russia dies like the tzaddik, and just like the behemoth. Okay, he brings it up one more time. One more time, because he brings it up with regard to Chochmah, with regard to justice, and then he brings it up once more with regard to Tzidkus, okay? With regard to Tzidkus. And that is where he says, again he brings it up with regard to righteousness. Three times he brings it up. With regard to Chochmah, with regard to justice, the institution of justice, and then with regard to righteousness. He says, Hakol kasher lakol. Okay? Hakol kasher lakol. Yeah. All right. Mikrechod. Again. La tzadik, v'la rasha, la tov, v'la tahor, v'la tomei, person that swears falsely, the same thing, person that's afraid of a shvuah. Okay? So he says again, mikra echad lakol. Yep. Okay. Three places he brings it up. That's his. That's the most powerful question. The fact that there's no corroboration of reality with regard to the fate of a human being. They're all the same. Okay. The great Chacham, the person that is just and unjust, and the person that's righteous and non-righteous. Those three types. Is really in those three types, you see that the fate of all of them is the same. This is the biggest question from reality. Reality should support a theme. I mean, a theme of chachma, a theme of justice, or a theme of righteousness, but it doesn't. Okay? That's his question. Okay. Yeah. By the way, yeah, let me, what I want to, I'd like to just digress a little bit. Okay. Yeah, the greatest Pirush really is Rashi. Rashi is the great. Rashi really comes up Kellis. Okay. Now you see? Yeah. Yeah, justice and righteousness are two different things. Justice is mishpat. Tzidkus means a person that devotes his life to the fear of God. That's a different thing. It's more than his whole chayim is involved in perfection. A person can be just doesn't mean that he's necessarily a great tzaddik. I mean, tzidkus is different. Tzidkus means where all his energies are directed, devoted. His whole life is devoted to a pursuit of the derech haChaim of Torah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the underlying theme of the whole sefer again, I would call is the echoes from reality. Man looks for some kind of echo from reality that should reverberate back to him some of the esodos of what he maintains is the essence of life, and he doesn't find it. Okay. Now there's something else here. It's very interesting. Let's take a look at Rashi and that pasuk. Just trying to put together all the themes. We'll sum everything up when we get finished. But just let me put together some of it. You see, Rashi. I'll give a little insight into Rashi's pirush. You see. It says, Akol Kashel Akol. Okay. Same pasuk. Tes Beis. All right. Yeah. Akol Kashel Akol. It means like the Metzudah says, Akol Yovo Lahem Kimoshi Yovo Lakol. All right. Everything happens. Everything's going to happen to them just like it happens to everybody. One law. It explains it. Mikrechot. Okay. Now Rashi says like this. It says, La Tzadik. Rashi says, Kigon Noach. V'la Rasha, he says, is paro neche. Zenitzla v'zenitzla. Latov zemosh, latov zearam, latome elam raglam. Alright, he goes to, Lazaveach ze yoshio, v'lasher einen zaveach, ze achav. So he says, Shebidl Yisrael milalos l'regel, zemes bechitzen v'zemes bechitzen. All right, Yoshio was a tzaddik, and he died. He was pierced with arrows, and the same thing was true with Achav. Okay, and Katov ze David, Kachote ze Nevuchadnezzar, ze Bona Beis Hamikdash ze Achrivo, ze Molach Memshana ze Molach Memshana. Okay, Rashi spells out the questions. Okay, Hanishba ze Tzidkio, Nishba Lasheka, Kashe Yeshua Yorei, who's the one that's afraid of Yeshua, ze Shimshan. Okay, all right, Rashi. See what Rashi over here. I think in general, he always goes back to the people in Tanakh. But it's an interesting. See this idea, Rashi's really disclosing an interesting concept over here, and the concept is prototypes. See prototypes. Okay, it's interesting. Where do you have it? I mentioned in passing last week. It's interesting. You have that right away in the beginning of the Torah. The Torah starts off with three prototypes. Who are the three prototypes? It's Yovo and Yuvo and Tevokai, right? Interesting thing. The Torah starts off that way. So it says, Yikach Lolemach, it's Bereshis, David Yutes, Yikach Lolemach, Shtein Oshim, Shem HaChasada, Shem HaShem Silo, Batel Odas Yovo, who are Yovi Yoshev Olamikna, Vashem Ochiv Yuvo, who are Yovi Koltofus Kin of Ugov. And then you have Tuval Kayin is Lotesh Kolchoresh Nechoshes Uvarzo. Okay, that's the third. So we said last week that what are those three? The Torah starts off right away with prototypes. What are the three prototypes? The three prototypes are are really, those three include all of human activity. All of human life, really, are included in those three. The three are, the first one is Yoshev Olam Mikneh, that's really contemplative man. The second one, that's Yovo. Yuvo is called Tofes Kinov Ugov, that's pleasure-seeking man, that's Yuvo. And Tuval Kayin is industrial man. Lotesh Kol Choresh Nechoches Ubarzel. It's an interesting thing. Now, this is based on psychological principles. What the Torah is saying over here, just like to clarify what these three are while we're here. What these three are works as follows. It means like this. It means that man is, the underlying premise is that man is, the difference between man and animal is man is a sublimative creature. That's the premise. Man is a sublimative creature. Okay? And what the Torah is saying is that there are two kinds of sublimation. Two kinds of sublimation. There's direct sublimation and indirect sublimation. Okay? What is direct sublimation? Direct sublimation is where you have an instinct that is changed, but it is taken on another object, but the object that it is taken on is really very closely related to the first object. Okay? That really is called Tofes Kinor V'Ugov. Kinor V'Ugov is sublimated. Music. Music is a sublimated activity. But the activity of music is not too far away from the emotion. That's why a party, in an orgy, you have music. Because why? Music enhances the emotion. It's not the same thing, it's different, but it is only one step removed. It's sublimation that I'm referring to as direct sublimation. All right? It's one step removed. It's the emotions, but the emotions now are being expressed through a sublimated kind of an object, but that object is really not too far away from the instinctual. That's called Tofes Kinov Ugov. Okay. The next kind, the second kind is Lotesh Kol Choresh Nechoshes Uvarzel. This is industrial man. But also, it's interesting. It's also the man of warfare. Okay. Lotesh Kol Choresh Nechoshes Uvarzel is also the one that produces weaponry. Weaponry, the Torah identifies weaponry and human progress is closely related. Okay? All right? So that's the Second World War, all the factories were converted to all the Lotesh, Nechoshes, Uvarzel that went into producing the economy of the country were now diverted towards warfare. I mean, that's Lotesh, Nechoshes, Uvarzel. Okay? It means, but it's more than just a physical phenomenon in terms of the production, the factories and the production, the industrial production. It's not just coincidental, it also is true psychologically as well. What it means to say is that industrial man succeeds because what he's doing is he's sublimating aggressive instincts. It's the sublimation of aggressive instincts. In other words, the warfare they actually have two levels of direct sublimation, two types. In warfare, it's really aggression. It's aggression actually. You may use fine instruments, but it's basically aggression. It probably isn't deserving of the word sublimation. Okay, it's not sublimation. It's basically aggression. But where a person runs a factory and wants to be successful as an industrialist, he is really involved in a sublimated form of the aggressive instinct. You see, that's Lotesh Choresh Nechoshes Uvarzel. So really, you have in Yuvo, And in Tuval Kayin, you have really two sublimation of two instincts. One is the pleasure instinct, the orgiastic instinct, and the other one is the aggressive instinct. That's what you have in those two cases. Two sublimation of both of those instincts. But that sublimation is direct sublimation. Direct sublimation. Then you have the first prototype. That was Yovel. What is Yovel? Yovel is Avikol Yoshev Ohalu Mikne. Alright. There you have true sublimation. True sublimation. Interesting. True sublimation. Now, I mentioned to you last week that this is contemplative man. But Chazal identify the Yoshev Ohalu Mikne also, essentially, as a primitive religious man. Primitive religious man. It's interesting. You see, in religion, you have, in primitive religions, Avodah Zarah, basically, in Avodah Zarah, you have the sublimation. There it warrants the description of indirect sublimation, because you're producing, the mind is producing different kinds of reality, okay? It's producing a new kind of a thing. It's not. It's already removed from the instinct directly. It's producing a new world. Okay, that world is the world, the religious world, the world of Avodah Zarah, of primitive religion. That's sublimation. That's a greater sublimation. It's removed from the direct. Removed from the direct. It's positing a system, a way of life, a kind of a philosophy. Okay, that's indirect sublimation. Of course, then you have the last kind, which really is total sublimation, and that is where the energy is directed totally to the world of thought and ideas. That's the Yoshev Olam Mikne of the Avos. Okay, in other words, the ability to truly sublimate the energies of man into the world of Chochmah. Okay, so under Yoshev Olam Mikne, you have two possibilities. And I mentioned that what Chazal say, Vasatan Vavarata, means that the indirect sublimation can be either or. The man is tied to, he can't escape. It's going to be either into Avodah Zarah, into primitive religious sublimation, or else it's going to be into Chachma. That's Vesartem Vavadatem Elohim Acherim Kivin Shesor Odo Midivrei Torah. The energy has to go somewhere. Either it's going to go into Chachma, and the moment you stop learning, the moment you stop the energy from going into Chachma, it must go into Avodah Zarah. Okay, that's what Yadus maintains. Those are the three prototypes of the Torah. See, now Shlomo HaMelech works is really an extension of the same concept. He also is working with prototypes. But the prototypes, the difference between the prototypes of Shlomo HaMelech and the prototypes of Tanakh, of the Torah Nevi'im, is one thing. That Shlomo HaMelech's prototypes are ones that he invents himself because he's a philosopher and he presents them philosophically. But what Rashi is saying, and this is when Rashi says, this tzaddik zeh Noach, and he says l'asher shvur yorei zeh Shimshon. What Rashi is saying is he's giving you insight into the Torah and the Nevi'im in general. He's telling you that every character that you find in Torah and Nevi'im is there because he's a prototype. That's what Rashi said, basically. Okay. The reason why the Torah records the lives of these people is because every one of them is a prototype. It's not a historical record. It's a record of the prototypes that one should analyze and understand their lives. That's what Rashi says. Noach, Zeh Shimshon, straight through his Pirush. He always does that. He always does it through his Pirush in Tanakh. He always relates it to incidents in the Tanakh. Why? Because Rashi's telling you he's sowed, and that is the reason why these characters were recorded is because they're prototypes. They're to be studied and analyzed because they are prototypes. Otherwise, they would never be recorded. Okay? And that's what all Rashi does is, he's correlating Shlomo HaMelech's abstract prototypes that he invented. Not invented, I mean, they're there. It's true.
but they're not factual people. They're philosophical individuals, okay, which the mind produces. Rashi correlates them to actual individuals that the Torah already presented in Torah and in Nevi'im. Okay? All right, that's really Yesod and Rashi's Pirish. In general, not just over here, a lot of places in Shir, I believe, a lot of places does that. That's based on that premise. That's the premise of Rashi, and it's the premise of Koheles. In other words, his method is through the presentation of various prototypes. Okay. That's correct. They came after Shlomo. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter when they lived. What Rashi? That doesn't mean that Shlomo HaMelech is writing. Good question. Doesn't mean that Shlomo HaMelech is writing this with Nevuah. Okay, that answers that question. Yes, correct. That's a good point. No. It's not written with Nevuah. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says Bikshu Ligno Sefer Koheles. Why do they want to put it into Geniza? Take it out of circulation because of the fact that it's a chokmas. It's chokmas Shlomo. It's his own chokmas Atzmo. It's not Nevuah. Okay. It's his own chokmah. The Gemara says precisely it's not Nevuah. That's what I want. That's a good point. I'm glad you mentioned it. In other words, this answers the question. Since the Gemara says it wasn't Nevuah, but it was chokmah, his own chokmah, and that's why they wanted to be gonezit, because something which is written with Nevuah. You see, something which is written with Nevuah means, see, we have like this, as I explained last week, that we have a concept of Tarsha b'chsav, something that is worthy of a din k'sav. The halachic status of ksav. Now, the halachic status of ksav is, and I told you, you have to differentiate totally between chamish chum shetar, which is mepiyak vura, and between varm shahim mepiyak neviim. That's a different thing. Not a question of true or false, but it's two different levels. But a navi can write something because of the fact that his nevuah dictates it should become a dovah shebechsav. Okay. That's when the Novi, the Nevi'im, Shmuel, Kosef, Sifro, and the and Yeshua, and all the Nevi'im, when they wrote, so they received the Dvar Hashem, and this Dvar Hashem was to become embodied in Ksav. Okay? All right. Shlomo HaMelech's works, is not that's not the way it went. Shlomo HaMelech never received the Nevuah to put this into Ksav. It was Chochmas Atzmo. It was Chochmas Atzmo, and he and the Anshe Chizkiyahu made it a Dovah Shebechsav. Ksuvim made it Ksuvim. That's why Ksuvim is different. They determined that this is something which should have the character of Ksav. I mean, we don't know too much about what the criteria of Ksav. We know Nevuah, but apparently certain Chochma also. Also warrants becoming a chefzer shel ksav. But then later there was a discussion about it, because since it's chochmas atzmo, it shouldn't be ksav. Now the question is, since it's not nevuah, so now your question comes into the picture. So how could Rashi quote these people who lived after the Zman HaShlomo? All right, what I'm saying answers that question, because Rashi doesn't mean, as one would think superficially, that Shlomo HaMelech is actually referring to these individuals. That would be impossible, because it was after his time, and it wasn't Alpi Nevuah. But what Rashi means is the whole Torah Nevi'im is written. The method, the reason for the writings is because all these people that the Torah records are prototypes. So Rashi simply, as a pirush, Rashi makes it simpler for you by taking the prototypes of the Nevi'im, okay, and showing exactly that what he said. It's true, okay? There's a chacham, Gemara says, chacham odif minavi. There's chacham odif minavi. It means Shlomo HaMelech was saying it through his chachma. And Rashi is showing you that that's exactly what happened in Nevuah. In Nevuah. That's exactly what happened in Nevi'im. So it does not mean, as one superficially may think, that Shlomo HaMelech was making reference to Yoshiyahu. Okay? Doesn't mean that. Who lived after his time? It means Shlomo HaMelech was stating an idea philosophically, and Rashi, in explaining and making it simpler and visible, is showing you concrete evidence from the personalities that were recorded as prototypes in our system of Torah and Nevi'im. Okay? You follow? There's one thing I do want to mention, and that is, I mean, now that you mentioned it, not putting anybody down. But the when you study the Mefarshei HaTanakh, you study a Radak, you see the way he treats a lot of the Maimorei Chazal. Okay, he brings them down, and yet many times he dismisses them. You know what I'm saying? So what I want to show you is that the simple approach was obviously never accepted by the greatest Mefarshei HaTanakh. It's a very interesting thing, okay? Which is always a problem for anybody that's used to that yeshiva type of background. That's always a problem. But the answer really is that I mean, yeah, this is not simplistic. You see, yeah, this is not simplistic, and the reason why they do that, or like you find, like Ibn Ezra will say, sometimes Ibn Ezra will build up a principle, and he'll say, yeah, but with the Techenu Ein of Meros, so why did Yitzchak become blind? So Ibn Ezra talks and he says, and he knows about the Chazal, say from the smoke, from the right, yeah, from the Akedah. He says, the tears of the angel. Va'al Yitchenu Bekone Shel Drush. He says he dismisses it. Al Yitchenu Bekone Shel Drush. Wasn't mean Ibn Ezra didn't hold it's true. Chazal said it. Ibn Ezra says things. For instance, Ibn Ezra says in the face of Yaakov Avinu is Chokuk and Kisei HaKavod, and he says this is what Chazal say, and this is a Sod Gadol. So you see, the Ibn Ezra was not a person that just disliked something because it sounds a little funny. I mean, this is a maimar which the Mekubalim, the real Chachamim Mekubalim, Ramban praises Ibn Ezra for that pshat. Okay, I mean, as I said, the true Chachmei Kabbalah and the true philosophers were peechod in most instances. You see, not like people think that there was diversity. There's disagreement, but the basic fundamentals were always the same. So the reason why the Ibn Ezra and the Radak dismiss Maimorei Chazal, what they're saying to you is the following. They're saying that the Maimorei Chazal and the Midrashim, once you're away from the Psukim, from the Pshuter Shel Mikra, you have to be very cautious, because they can mean it's divrei chachomim v'chidosam, and they're written in a very cryptic way, and a lot of times they make certain statements. It's difficult for us to know whether it means it literally or whether it has some other meaning, some other idea behind it, like what we discussed Friday morning with Kiyas HaMa'oros. You know, what does it mean with Kiyas HaMa'oros? It's a siman ra'al olam. So we discussed it. When you look into it, you see there's an idea behind it. Okay, but when you take it superficially, you think an eclipse is a terrible thing. But everybody knows it. That's nonsensical. Okay? But there is a deep idea. That's why the reason why they dismiss the Maimorei Chazal is not because they don't value the Maimorei Chazal, but it's because they know it's very difficult to know exactly what the Maimah means. So if it fits in smoothly into the Pirush of the Pasuk, so then you know that that's Pshuto Kamashma. But many times it doesn't. And then they reject it, not because they reject what they're saying, but they know that there's a certain unsureness when a person hears the Maimorei Chazal Midrash, who has written on a very high level, the great Chachamim, and they are Meshulam and the Chidos, and that's why you have to treat them as such. That's the reason. Okay. And that's just a theme I wanted to mention, that it starts off with Yovel and Yovel and Tavokayin, but it's a theme throughout. According to Rashi, that's a Yesod in Kol HaTorah Kula, the analysis of Kol HaTorah Kula, that the Torah works with prototypes, but Shlomo HaMelech works with invented prototypes, okay, and Tarnavim work with actual prototypes. That's the difference. Okay, Rashi lines them up together. Okay, when Shlomo HaMelech says, "Amarti ani believe yes a tzaddik v'sa rosha yishkot elokim," that's what he holds. Yeah, in other words, it's true. It's true. He knows that is true, but simultaneously, mikre echad lakol means to say, it's not a contradiction, but the fact is, the support from reality that you're looking for, you're not going to find. It's true, but we don't understand how God, we don't understand the method of Mishpat. So you'll tell me, if that's the case, what's the whole question? That's what I'm explaining to you. The question of Shlomo HaMelech is not a question in fact, it's a question in how man can function when there's no support, and you see Mikra Echad Lakol, the Tzaddik and the Rasha, both the same. You understand what I'm saying? That's the nature of it. That goes back to the nature of his question again. His question is a unique kind of question. Right, let me just try to move in. Try to move into the answer. Okay, move into the answer. Just one. I want to do one thing before I do though.
That statement where he says that Atzadik Varasha Yishpot Olakim. Let me try to get to that, the heart of the.
There's two things that I would like to take up.
One is the question of God's Mishpat. Of God's Mishpat, where he raises a question, he says, Zamatini Belibias Atzadik Vasarasha Yishpot Olakim. And then he says, Mikra Chalakol. Right.
Okay.
Now, you see what he said like this. Yeah, I just want to mention one more thing about this. What we know about God's Mishpat, we know from the Torah. I mean, and again, Shlomo Melech is not denying this or even questioning it. What he's saying is the corroboration, when we look around, the corroboration we don't see. Okay? But the fact is we know that it's so. Because God's Mishpat is very complex, and we can't understand his Mishpat. But I would just like to add one more thing to what I said last week with regard to what we know about God's Mishpat. And we said, because Shlomo Melech's question, implicit in the way he has the order of the Psukim, is that there can't be the question of God's Mishpat is a difficult one to understand, because if man lives like a behemoth, so then a behemoth is not subject to Mishpat. Okay? Yeah. But the fact is, it's a question, good question. It's a good question. If a person is a thinking individual, the question will occur to him. I mean, the way people live, it would seem that the concept of din and dayan is inappropriate. Okay, it's a good question. But fine. But what I wanted to show was something about God's Mishpat. And that was the question we raised last week, is that how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal say in many places, and it's based on a pasuk in the Torah, the Chazal say that God repays the Russia to destroy him. Okay, repays the Russia to destroy him, and the question is, of course, how could that be? I mean, Mi'chamoch Avarachman, and the Pesukim Yecheskel, all the Pesukim Yecheskel, let's say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits for the Russia for the last day at Yom Moshe to Chakel on Yashuv. Right? Okay, so it's the last minute HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits. And yet we have a pasuk in the end of Aschan that says, Meshalim Lasono Velponov La'avido, to destroy him. And there Rashi says that the Russia, God repays the Russia in a way that he's destroyed. And we said, what we said was that God repays the Russia with his own currency. In other words, what is a Russia? A Russia is a person who has a distorted idea of what is good and what is evil. He makes a mistake. He thinks what is really good is evil, and he thinks what is really evil is good. That's a mistake. He has a great error. So that's the definition of a Russia. So when God repays him, he repays him, Chazal say, repays him in this world, so he doesn't have anything in the next world. What does it mean? It means he gives him the currency that he maintains is the true currency, which is really the taivas and the kavod, all those things which the Russian maintains is the good. God repays him and gives him those things. Why? Latar domin olam, to destroy him. Okay. The question is, how could God do an action that's destructive to a human being? Okay? That's the question. Yeah. So the answer I think is on a few levels. First of all, one, God's judgment is complex and is on different planes. One plane of judgment is based upon the way the world sees things. That's Lama Yomer Mitzrayim. Okay, that's one plane of God's judgment. All right. So sometimes the Russia gets repaid simply in his own currency because of the fact that he's in a position that others are observing him, and they should be able to see that God repaid this Russia for this little thing that he did. Kal v'chomer, how much schar there really is the person is a tzaddik. Okay, that's one. That's one system. That's meshaling l'sono v'alpanav. But la'avido over there doesn't mean to intentionally destroy him. But la'avido means that's the function of, as the Rambam says many times in the Torah, it appears as if it's intention, but really it's function. Like yehi moros l'hor aloritz. So the Rambam says that's not really the purpose of the moros. It's a function of the moros. All right, it's a function. The moros do give light. Okay. So the same thing over here. That's one plane, one level. But then we mentioned there's another level, and that level is that God's justice with man is in his own framework. Like the Gemaras that mention that the lost love of the Goyim will say to God, how come We did things. We built the bridges. We built the bathhouses. Why don't we get the schar and God will answer them? No, you did that for yourself. All these different things. It's based in the Navi, where the goyim come lochog eschag asukos. That's what the world bases on. So you see that God's judgment is in the framework of the Russia. It's in the framework of the Russia. Okay? So that we know through Nevuah, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is dan a person in his own framework. It's an amazing thing. I mean, it's not something that a person would deduce. A person would say, God judges. What does he care about the Russia's framework? But no, we know through Nevuah that God judges the Russia in his own framework. And that's what it means. Tzadik v'yashahu, what Rashi says, akol matzdikin lovas dino, means to say that when they confront God, God takes their framework and says, according to your framework, this is the way you get paid back. So now you have no taina even in your framework. It's an amazing concept. But that's what Yehada says, and I believe that explains the lahavido. See, lahavido means that he shouldn't have anything in olam haba, chay olam haba. It means that laosid lovo, the Russia can never come before God and say, well, now I deserve a part in the olam haba as well, because I did such and such. Okay. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays him so that in his framework he must admit that he was repaid. HaKol matzdikin olav ezdino. Alright? And I believe that also explains that principle, which is a principle that we know through Nevuah, you can't know it through any other way, a principle that we know through Nevuah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu meets out judgment in the framework of the person. Is also, there's another important principle that we always mention that I think is explained also with that concept. What principle? Mida keneged mida, exactly. Mida keneged mida. What does it mean, mida keneged mida? Why does God have to mida keneged mida? What's the difference? Okay, there's a word about the mitzvah, it should be mida keneged mida. Why? The answer is mida keneged mida means, that's exactly what it means. It means in the framework of the person that's being judged. That's what it means. As a Rashi in Brachos that says that if a person sees that Yisurin Boinalov, Yefashresh B'masov, so Rashi, I believe, says over there, he should look for Nida Keneged Nida. What does it mean? He should investigate, see certain things happen to you, check into what happened, and see perhaps it is a mida keneged mida, which means that God gave you this onesh. If you think into it, it could be because of a certain avera that's appropriate. Mida keneged mida. It means to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges man in a way where he tries to enlighten man according to the framework that man is working with at the time. That is something that Yahadus maintains. That's me. That's the concept, really, of Mida Keneged Mida. That's Mida Keneged Mida. Yes. So there are two levels of this. There are two levels of God's judgment. One level, Mida Keneged Mida, is really in the framework, but there the individual is being judged has hope. There's hope for the individual. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a warning, Mida Keneged Mida. But then there's the Russia. La'avido means where he's beyond repair. So then it's just a question of what the Russia would say to God when he confronts God. He's going to have a taina. HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays him in a way that he has no taina. That repaying totally destroys him because it removes him from receiving any real claim to true schar. Okay? He cannot have any claim. It's a kol matzdikin olav ezdino. That's really the principle of God's justice. As I said, God's justice is on many planes. Many planes. That's why the idea of a human being able to understand God's justice is absurd, because he only sees a fraction of what's exposed is only a fraction, and the complexity of the mishpat and the different planes of judgment is something which is beyond the scope of the human mind. Okay, so that's why it's not a kasha. You see, it's not a kasha. Again, Shlomo Nachman is a kasha. It's a Russia. It's not a Yishpat Olikim. It's true, but nevertheless, we still nevertheless, in spite of that, Mikra Echad Lakol. It's not visible. It's not something which a person can say universally that the way human affairs work is that the Russia dies instantaneously, and tzaddik is rewarded. That's not so simple. There's mikrechad lakol. We observe mikrechad lakol, and you cannot find emotional support for the from corroboration from reality is lacking. Okay, but that doesn't mean it's not true. Again, it doesn't mean that, but it means in order for a human being to function, he's looking for the support, and that you're not going to find. Okay. As a matter of fact, he says you'll never find it. Where he says in the pasuk, he says gam. He makes that statement quite clear. You see, again, another statement with which, without the principles that we're discussing right now, is unintelligible, because he says the end of Ches. Varisias kol masa olakim kilo yuchal adam limtzo as hamasa asher nasa tachas hashemesh. He cannot discover the principles through simply casually observing. Even if a person works in depth and tries to find that, v'lo yimtza. The gamim yomar achochem ladas lo yichal yimtza. Emphasize it. Okay? So therefore, this shows you clearly it's not the kind of question of a philosopher. He knows that it's true, but he knows simultaneously you do not have the support from what you see. Okay, you don't have the support. There's nothing a person can hang their security on, basically. Basically, what the Sefer Koheles is, an attempt to look at human life and give a person security in the true Derech HaChaim of Torah. And that, he says, you can't find. He says, what you will find is, you will find that the tzaddik, he mentions the tzaddik has an infinitely better life, and the Russia is the Raki lo yarech yomim katzel. That the Russia really never has a good life. That's no question. I mean, that is so. Any person who's a chacham could see that. But a person's looking for something more. He wants to see corroboration from external corroboration, and external corroboration doesn't exist. Okay. So the whole question of sefer is, how do you move ahead in spite of the fact that there is no support from reality? How do you move ahead? That's his question. Okay?
Yeah.
Now you have to remember over here that whatever he writes, you see, the ordinary reader, I mean especially the reader from this society, you know, like the historian or the Bible critics, I mean people from these Rishayim, these people, when they approach it, they try to approach it with the way they're used to reading things. But this is written in a very different way, okay? That's why when they see Rashi, they say, yeah, the Rashi is trying to put things in it. But actually, Koheles states in the end of Koheles it's stated that it was written with Mishalom. Tikin Mishalom Harbe. And the Mishalom are right here, okay? Now the question is, what is the answer? The answer, I believe, is clear from I'll just take one statement, but there are a couple of statements like that. All right, it's in Koheles Tes Re'ei Chayim im Isho Asher Ohavto Kol Yimei Chayei Hevlecho Asher Nosam Lecho Tachas Hashemesh Kol Yimei Hevlecho Ki Hu Chelkecho B'Chayim Uvamolcho Asher Omol Tachas Hashemesh. Okay, funny passage. First, he has all these questions and this building. Empire building and the greatest. Then suddenly, nope. Re'echaim Misha Asher Ahavta. Okay, so it sounds like a nice idea, right? Okay, that's to some extent the American society thinks that they could do that. Never works. But anyways, but he immediately has right after Kol Yimei Chayei Hevlecha, which is okay, which is. Sounds bad. What do you mean? He's just trying. Rei Chaim and Misha Asher Ahavta. That sounds like, you know, like an American society. They have the kind of a dream. He marries the right woman and he's successful and this and every life is wonderful. That's the American nightmare. But anyways, that sounds like Rei Chaim and Misha Asher Ahavta. This is right. Oh. But the only thing is, he immediately states afterwards, Kol Yimei Chayei Hevlecha, which implies the opposite. What do you mean? And it's a bad thing. Then it says again, Hashem nosam l'chol tachas hashemesh. That's good. But then he says again, "Kol yimei havlecha." Okay. Then he says, "Ki hu chel kachol b'chayim v'amokha shnom v'avim." Sounds like it's good again, right? I mean, you don't know which way it's going. Okay. Yeah. You see, basically, what he's saying, particularly Rashi, Rei Chaim Mishra after, he says, Re'eva hovein lilmod umnis, Rashi says, lisparnes mimenu in Talmud Torah asher biyotcha. Okay. Yeah. He says, ki hu chalkacha b'chayim imasisa ken yiyya chalkacha ze chayim ba'olam hazeh lisparnes min umnis. Unbelievable. Uba'olam abo she yigiyya shnei mishkach zon. Okay. It's amazing that Rashi pulls these things out. But you see, to take a look also before this, in Pasuk Zion, this is where he's starting to give the answer. Pasuk Zion. Lech echo besimcho lachmecho, save a lev tov yenecho. Now, life sounds great, okay? Ki gevarotzo alokimus masecho. Suddenly, all the tragedies of Kalis, Hevel is nothing, but now go be happy, okay? Rashi says, Lech echo besimcho, avol ato hatzadik, kevarotzo alokim masecho atov, and vetiske lolam abo. Lech echo besimcho. It means in other words learning. It means Talmud Torah. Okay. B'chol eisiyu v'gadechol avonim. That's a mashal. Haskein atzmecha b'chol shol b'masei tov shem tomos hayom tikonis b'sholom. All right. U'mashal Shlomo Chacham as a dover zel l'adam sheizmino amelach l'yom sudo v'la'kov l'azman im Chacham hu apikeach miyad mechabes ksuso v'roches v'soch. Okay. All right, fine. Yeah, what it means like this. So Chazal darshan all these things as having to do with Torah, Talmud Torah. Yeah. What it means like this, that what Shlomo Melech really, what he's saying is that basically man, in his desire for corroboration, for lifestyles, He seeks that corroboration through two ways. One way is through the non-religious lifestyle. Okay, that's one way. The lifestyle of the person, the businessman, the empire builder, the successful life, whether the professional, successful professional. He's looking for some kind of security in that kind of an existence. So that Shlomo Melech refutes all those lifestyles. That's the secular lifestyle. He refutes all the secular lifestyle, and he shows that it's all fantasy. Then he refutes even the lifestyle of the Chacham, because the Chacham wants to think that Chachma, that's where it's at. What is a person? A person attracted to Chachma? A person, when he's attracted to something, it means he has to feel that this is it, the security of this kind of a lifestyle. But then he says, that's a superficial thing also. When you look at the life of the Chacham, you're going to see it doesn't work there. You're not going to find external corroboration either. You're not going to find external corroboration either over there. Then he has the life of the religious person as well. Al titzakar be'lama tishomei. Okay? He refutes every kind of security device that a person could be seeking in establishing his life. Okay? That's why he says, in conclusion, what he says is, when he says, Lech echo besimcho lachmecho, save a lev tov yenecho, and he brings it up in a few places, where he says that I saw that the only thing, actually he's developing it as it goes along, the only thing there is to enjoy life. He mentions that somewhere. He says, it's in Hey Yitzayim. Hine asher isioni, tov asher yofa lecho v'lishtos, the liros tova b'cholamolo sheyamol tachas haShemesh mispa yimei chayav asher nasan lohu alakim ki uchalka. Okay. Suddenly he says this guy. What does he mean over here? I mean, suddenly all the kashas are gone. All right. What he's saying is, and this is the answer to his question. The answer to his question is that a person must eventually overcome that need that he has for the external support. Okay, he must overcome that need. If he doesn't overcome that need, he could never be happy. If he's looking for something eternal in the external world, he's never going to find it. Lech echo b'simcha lachmecha means that a person should be removed from all these fantasies, even the fantasy of the supremacy and the reign of Chachma in terms of human affairs. If you're looking for that, he says, then your life is going to be hevel. Alright? But a person must be able to remove that desire. The desire for recognition, the desire for the support, either from society, kibbe makom atzedek shomar resha. You see, that's the whole sefer. The whole sefer shows you that you're not going to find that anywhere. You look for it in society, you're not going to find it. You look for it in the derech hachayim, in the cycle of life, you're not going to find it. And